Okay, I don't know either. I don't know why I'm doing this message this morning. I don't know. Okay, so, but I do. And I'll tell you why I know what I knew what I was going to talk about this morning, because I read the Haftarah portion and I decided that there was something good and sort of interesting in here that we could talk about, not only talk about the Bible and talk about the people in the Bible, but to talk about our God and Messiah. Because in our Haftarah portion this morning in 1 Samuel, because 1 Samuel 20, 18 through 42 is our parsha, if you remember. It tells about Jonathan's loyalty to David. David was the son of Jesse. David was from the tribe of Judah. And Jonathan was the son of Saul. And Saul was the king of Israel. And Jonathan and Saul were from the tribe of Benjamin. Jonathan actually, you know, there was some bad luck that went on through the lineage of King Saul. And it ended up that Jonathan dies and King Saul dies. But Jonathan would have become probably the king of Israel. But because of this run of cursing, actually, in the family of Saul, he didn't make it and he never became the king. Jonathan's dad, King Saul, hated David. Actually, it was jealousy, and you'll see in a minute. There was some jealousy involved, but King Saul hated David, and he hated David even when David was a young man, maybe a boy. And he started hating David for something that he did, and he wanted him dead. And Jonathan, although Jonathan's dad hated David, Jonathan became loyal to David and actually protected David from his father. And so we can only imagine, as a youngster, Jonathan was probably astonished when this event happened, where he didn't really know David that well. He didn't really have that great friendship with him. But when he saw that David slew Goliath, he must have been astonished at this whole event. Let's go to our first scripture this morning, and really we see what was going on here. 1 Samuel. Then David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine, Goliath, in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own. So it was at that moment, Jonathan was there when David took in the head of Goliath, this young man, and showed it to King Saul. I can imagine, if we were there, imagine the surprise and the awe of this man that's about your age, that this would have just happened. There's one thing that I want to mention here, and I think it might be very important to us. It says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him on as his own soul. Now, I might be going off just a little bit for this minute, but I want to mention something. I know that I've mentioned it maybe a few times over the last few years, but it is so important. This is an actual event. This is the Word of God. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. I've told you this before. You need to be careful who you allow praying for you. You need to be careful who you allow laying hands on you. Because there is a bond and a connection sometimes that is not good. And it is not safe. And there's a spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, you don't want someone having his spirit knitting with you. Even if you don't want it or aren't aware of it. I don't think David was aware of it. And I don't really think Jonathan was aware of it. But God did something special there. And so, especially, and I say this because when people sometimes come into the congregation as visitors, there are sometimes we see visitors, they come in, and after services, I see they're praying for people. No one knows who they are. You don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. But they've come in here. And then sometimes we find out afterward, these people are not kosher. They're not good. They shouldn't be praying for people. And I just wanted to mention that this morning, and that was my little thing, and I'm going on from that. But here we go. The event, the physical event, and the spiritual event here. And so loyalty is very admirable to us. It's a very admirable thing. However, we have to understand that our loyalty to God must be first. And if you read the story, and if you go into Samuel, and you read more about Jonathan and David, you see that David and Jonathan, they both had hearts for God. So their loyalty was for God. So don't think that when they were, because they were loyal to each other, Jonathan was loyal to David, that this was loyalty above everything. We need to understand that. We all, we feel that being loyalty could be a good, being loyal can be a good thing, but we must always remember God comes first. We must be loyal to God first. As believers, we all have, to some degree, loyalty. Because, look, we have loyalty to our family. We have loyalty if our mom and dad are still alive. We have loyalty to our parents. We should. We have loyalty to brothers and sisters. We have loyalty in family, and it's understood that we have that. We have loyalty between friends, like Jonathan and David. We are loyal to friends, and it's good. And we should be loyal to friends. We shouldn't be two-faced with people, with our friends. We shouldn't be in their face, showing that we love them, and then behind their back, doing things behind their back. We should be loyal to our friends and our family. And sometimes we are loyal to products. Even products, even things, inanimate things, aren't we? You have a certain kind of car that you have, and you are loyal to that car brand. You love that car. When you got another car, you're going to get that same brand. You had, maybe before you got your car, you had the same brand before. We are even loyal to the point of being loyal to certain kinds of products, to certain brands that are out there. So loyalty, we all have loyalties to some degree, but we need to put them in perspective. Occasionally, I've seen people make bad decisions because of their loyalty to friends, and they've made decisions that didn't put God first. They had misdirected loyalty, and they had loyalty that the other person, the other friend, can even drag them into a pit. Example, you have a friend. The friend does something wrong. The friend does something and they go out on their own and they're gone. And you, because you feel you should be loyal to your friend, you follow them and you're gone. Instead of saying, as a good friend, I think you're doing the wrong thing. I think you should think about it. I think you shouldn't be so hasty in your decision. As a friend, you should. But what people do is, well, they were my friends, so I'm going to leave with them. They were my friends, so I'm going to follow them. But sometimes, that friend doesn't really care. That friend is happy when you're following with them. Because that friend feels that they, because you seem to agree with them, they feel justified that they've made the right decision. I must have made the right decision because my friend is coming with me. But that friend is coming with you not because they know it's necessarily a good decision, but they're doing it because of a misdirected loyalty. And we see this in the body of Messiah too many times. So we need to understand and realize and put in perspective what loyalty really means. If you're loyal and you really love a friend, if they do something you see is wrong according to God or to God's word, you should be able to talk to them. And your friend, if your friend gets mad with them, then what kind of a friend are they really that you can't have a good, close relationship and discussion on these things? The blessing is our God is faithful to us. You know, I'm saying here, we need to be faithful to God. We need to be loyal to God. But this is the blessing. God is faithful to us. Our God is the faithful, the loyal God. If we are to give him a label amongst all kinds of labels, we can say our God is faithful to us. We may not be faithful and loyal to him at times, but our God is faithful and loyal to us. As a matter of fact, Moses starts writing about this loyalty and this faithfulness. Let me go to a scripture this morning from the Torah, Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of God that he should repent. Has he said, I will not... And will he not do? Or has he spoken and he will not make it good? God is loyal. He is faithful. If God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. He doesn't say one thing and do another thing. That's part of loyalty. What he says, he is going to do. He is not a liar. And so God, our God, is the faithful and loyal God. So we have this word that we see and sometimes thrown around that God is steadfast. God is steadfast. The phrase or the word steadfast means unwavering loyalty. That's the idea of what it is. The Hebrew word is chesed, and the word chesed has different meanings, but the word chesed is faithfulness, and a lot of times chesed is mercy, but it also is faithfulness. It's loyalty. It's in the scriptures. It can be used, chesed, as loyalty, as loving kindness or steadfast love. And so we looked at Moses, but now David sort of gets right down to it in Psalm 86, and he writes Psalm 86, verse 15, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious and suffering and abundant in faithfulness and truth." And so he says it, chesed ve'emet, faithfulness and truth. God is a God of faithfulness, amongst other things, of truth. When he says it, he's going to do it. He doesn't say one thing and do another, as we read with Moses. And he is a God who is steadfast, with steadfast love. He is a God who has faithfulness. And he is faithful with each and every one of us. So hopefully, these words speak to you this morning, collectively or individually. Hopefully one of you this morning just, for some reason, you know, I don't know, I know God says this, but how can I really believe it? How can I really trust it? Just as God said, as it wasn't God, but it was Bob. Bob, you're not God. But Bob said this morning, your mother thought you were God, but, you know, it's a different thing. What was I saying? See, I shouldn't do these things. It's different. Okay, so anyway, yes. All right. So, what was I saying? Right. So here's the thing. So hopefully, you know, some, maybe one of you in here, maybe a number of you in here, you know, God, he says something, but I don't know. I've been waiting. Shouldn't my prayers be answered? I'm praying so hard. I'm praying every day. I have a congregation praying for me. I have my friends. I have my family praying for me. How come it's not happening immediately? Because God does these things in his perfect timing. But the idea is, and this is what I was trying to say here a minute ago, the thing is that God is not a liar. If he has said one thing, he will do it. It may take 20 years. It may take 30 years. Or he may do it in 2 days or 2 weeks. But we know that God is faithful to us. So if you are a person that maybe is stressed out in your life, maybe you're a person who is financially wounded, let's put it that way, financially wounded, you have financial problems in your life. Maybe you are lonely because you don't really have, you would love to have a relationship in your life and you don't have it. God is steadfast, but it's steadfast love that's connected with that chesed. And so God is loyal to each and every one of us. And he has loyalty to all of you, to all of us, even if we are stressed out. And even if we financially things aren't going the way they should be. Now, we have to take certain responsibilities, certainly, in our life to do these things. God wants us to take responsibility. And he says, look, and I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to help you with these things. And so God, he is loyal. And he will never change. God is, you know, we say God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will never, ever change. And that loyalty will never, ever change. And that loyalty will never, ever end. We need to believe that. God is faithful to each and every one of us. God is trustworthy. God is constant. God is reliable. We can rely. Sometimes we don't know who to turn to and we don't know who to rely on. You can rely on the Lord. That's the one thing that we know. As believers, God will never write you off. Ever. We can choose to write him off. We can turn our back on him. People do it each and every day. But God will never write you off. Ever write you off. And the thing is, you know, if you know maybe someone, and I think we all know people like this. They've given their lives to the Lord. They've acknowledged Yeshua as their Messiah. They have repented of their sins. They know that the shed blood of Yeshua has atoned for their sins. And then they turn their back on the Lord. Trust me, the Lord is not letting go of that person. You need to pray for that person. You need to talk to them whenever you can. Sometimes they don't want to hear it from you and you need to back up and not say anything to them, but keep them in prayer because God will never write that person off. That person made a decision in their life and in their heart, and if that was a genuine decision that they made in their heart, God is not going to write them off. And he's going to do everything that he can, and he wants us to do as much as we can to help bring them back so that they can make that decision and turn that decision in their heart around again. But God will never write you off. Ever. And his faithfulness, because he is loyal and faithful to us, it can bring assurance to our lives, knowing that we have such a faithful God who that won't write us off. It brings peace. It can bring peace into our lives, and it can bring relief into our lives when we just sometimes feel that it just doesn't let up. But if we look at these things, if we listen to these things, if we truly understand these things, we realize that it can make a big difference in our life. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it, of which I sent it. We know, how often do I say this? As is the physical, God gives us the physical world to teach us spiritual things about the Lord. And so we know that. The rain, the snows, they come from heaven and they don't return again. You don't see rain and snow going back up to the sky. So just as God has it come down to earth, and then when it comes down to earth, it does these good things by watering and growing things and budding things, allowing things to grow, just as in the physical, that is how his word is. It doesn't go back void. It is out there. When his word is out there, what, you know, he already spoke it. When we read it, when we think it, when we believe it, it's going to take, it's going to do something. It's going to grow something. It's going to make sure something buds. It's going to make something flourishes and improves and develops. And this is, in other words, when God speaks, things happen. That's what it is. When God speaks, things happen. And he has spoken. He's spoken. And when we read, we are read what he has spoken. These are the words that God has spoken. These are the things that we can believe in. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Not only when God speaks, things happen, they're not going to pass away. They don't change. We can't look back and go, well, you know, he wants us to do certain things. He has promises for us, but maybe he's not promising for those things for us anymore. He is promising because his word by no means will pass away. You know, and even the way it says, it doesn't say my word isn't going to pass away, but my word by no means is going to pass away. He's, you know, really emphasizing that. These are pretty heavy words, really. It's a small verse, but really these are very, very heavy words. It means he's going to keep his promises, that he will fulfill every prophecy that he has made. And if you haven't seen a promise from God's word, it's because it just hasn't happened yet. Understand, it will happen, but it will happen in God's timing. He is just as true today as he was 5,000 years ago. 2 Timothy 1 and the last part of verse 12. Nevertheless, Shaul writes to Timothy, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day, Hayom. We read about it, we have it in our liturgy, especially at high holidays, we talk about Hayom, about the day, we have it in our liturgy in the morning, it is the day. It is committed until that day when he makes promises. We're going to see these things be fulfilled. And then the Lord is going to return that day. It's a special day. It's the greatest day that we're going to witness. It's Hayom. It's the day. It's the day that the Lord returns. And he's going to fulfill these promises. And he's going to fulfill every one of these promises. It's a great thing when we have loyal people around us. It is important that we have loyal people around us. As in leadership, we desperately need loyal people around us in the congregation. It's not just loyal to Kol Mashiach, but loyal to the leadership of the congregation. It's very, very important that our members are loyal, putting God first, understanding It's not, we don't want blind loyalty, but we want people to be loyal and to understand what's going on around us and what God says we should be doing and not doing, and to be loyal. How much better to have God be loyal to us. If it's important for us to have people around us that are loyal, how much better, how much wonderful, how much more of a blessing it is than to have a faithful, loving God loyal to us. That is the greatest thing that man can have, the greatest thing. Because he is, we can count on him. And I know sometimes we don't feel like, what's going on around us? But we can count on him because he's loyal. We can look up to him when he is, because he's loyal. And we can trust in God because he is loyal. He is loyal. He is the loyal God. He is loyal to each and every one of us. And so, you know, I was going to originally, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up Thursday. Maybe I should do a Thanksgiving message. I think this is a good Thanksgiving message because you know why? Let's give thanks. We give thanks on Thursday. We all give thanks. What a greater way to give thanks than to know that God is loyal to us, that we have a loyal God, and he wants us to be loyal to him, but he is loyal to us, and his word is true. What a wonderful Thanksgiving message for each and every one of us. So I took care of that automatically with that. So we do this every year. Sometimes people get a little, you know, they come, you know, we have family that come on Thanksgiving. We invited family to the house. And sometimes, you know, they don't know the Lord. They're not, you know, they're not walking with the Lord. And we have everyone stand and just tell us, what are you thankful for in your life? And sometimes it's hard for people. They hem and they haw. They don't really know what to say. But you know what to say this year. You are thankful that you have a loyal God. Amen. It's one of the things that you could be thankful of. Amen? Amen? Amen. So everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving and be thankful that our God is a loyal God. Amen? Amen. God bless you.